of intercession. Years ago, the Lord dealt with me. A teacher called me about two little boys. She had them brothers in her class. They were different ages when I obviously had not been promoted. They were very, very difficult, came from a very difficult family, and I'm just, you know, in agreement. I just said, just comforting her. She obviously had a struggle with them. And when I hung up the phone, the Lord dealt with me and said, some children will never get prayer their entire life. And you know, there are people who will never get out of their trauma, never get out of their dilemma unless you pray. You're providing for them great escape. Now let's look at the book of Job. Prayer, especially praying for others, provides the escape that they need, provides the deliverance and the freedom that they need. We're going to talk today about the intercession of Jesus. I'm going to give you some data that will help you as you pray for others. Chapter 9 of Job. I love Job. Now, people trip over the book of Job because of the first chapter in this little verse that said there was none perfect and upright like Job. And so they interpret perfect and upright that he was a man without sin, but you have to go to Scripture. It says all of sin to come short of the glory of God. He was not without sin. As you read the book of Job, you realize he had some flaws in his thinking that he didn't understand the nature of Almighty God. It comes to chapter 9. Of Job, and it's a marvelous, marvelous moment in Job's life. Verse 32, we'll start. It's talking about God is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, we should come together in judgment. Neither is any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. One translation says, would that there were. He's talking about a need that he had. Look at verse 28. I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know thou wilt not hold me innocent. He knew his sin. He knew his need. He didn't know how to solve that problem. And he said, if I bleached myself, it wouldn't solve the problem. And so he's looking for an escape route from sin. He's looking for a change. He's looking for a difference, a deliverer. And he calls it here a daysman. We don't use that term except in baseball, where daysman would be an umpire. An umpire represents both sides according to established rules. And so he's looking for a daysman or an umpire. You could also use the word intercessor. And the key word there is a daysman is the word betwixt, which we would say between. He's looking for somebody that can lay one hand on him and one hand on God and bring the two together. He's looking for a great redeemer. Now, if you go on to read Job, there's another moment in his life. A lot of what Job said was a misunderstanding in his own mind about God. But he did stumble across some truth in his search for truth, in his search for deliverance and freedom. And in one section he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And on this earth again shall stand. Great songs have been written from that passage. He's looking for a daysman. He's looking for someone between him and God who could bring the two together, and he found none. Now look at Isaiah 59. Here's another similar passage. Isaiah 59. This is a passage on sin. You read this chapter and you think, wow, my, oh dear, really, But verse 11 says, we roar all like bears and mourn all like doves. We look for judgment, but there's none. Judgment is justice, but there's none. For salvation is far off from us. Here's again, people looking for deliverance, looking for freedom, unable to find that deliverance, unable to find that freedom. Well, if you go over, God says, verse 15, yet truth fails, and he departs from evil, making himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. It displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. God saw there was no intercessor, no daysman, no umpire, no one between man and God to solve the sin problem. He saw that there was none. Now, this is the law of double reference in the Scripture. A lot of things in the Old Testament pertain to Israel at that moment, deliverer for Israel at that moment. But they also have a futuristic sense in which they pertain to the church and the new covenant. And this verse certainly is in that law of double reference. And so he saw there was no intercessor. An intercessor is one who stands for another, stands between two people, who represents another. Often the people you represent aren't interested in representation. And that helps us so much as we pray. You know, Abraham represented Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't unhappy with sin. They weren't asking for any help. Moses represented the people of Israel before God. We had those examples last week. But nobody in Israel was asking for deliverance or freedom or salvation. In fact, they said, we'll just choose another leader and go back to Egypt. They had their own plan contrary to the plan of Almighty God. And so that helps me as I pray to know you don't have to want help. I just see you need it. And that helped you a lot. You know, because we're looking at the people we're praying for. We're looking for some kind of dramatic change, some kind of difference in their life. Just look at the Word and look at God and continue to pray and stand until God releases you. There's a release in the Spirit as you pray. Intercession is only one type of prayer. There are a lot of ways to pray for other. We come to the first week praying the Scripture. I'm very strong in praying the Scripture. Scripture gives us a lot of things we can pray for other people. You see strife, you pray that their love may abound, increase, overflow, splash over on others, one translation says. You see where they meet the mind of the Lord, and go to that wonderful verse in Colossians 1 that they might know the will of God. One translator says they might know what God wants them to do, and I love that because it makes it very simple for our mind. They have the spirit of wisdom. Ephesians says to acknowledge God, to acknowledge who he is. Now, your King James says in the knowledge of God, but the translators say to the knowledge of God. If Job would only know who God was. He said, Job said, you know, God treats the innocent and the guilty alike. Sometimes the innocent go to court and God just laughs. Well, you know, that's not right. See, Job didn't have the knowledge of God. He didn't have the knowledge that you have by reading and studying the Scripture, that you have by virtue of the Holy Ghost on the inside teaching you. Well, God saw there was a need here for an intercessor, someone to represent man, someone to solve the sin problem.